If you haven't met me yet, I'm Mike, and we are going to start our stuff for today by pretending to be some people from a long time ago to tell you a true story about Jesus. So forget that I just told you that I'm called Mike. Hello, I want to tell you about the most weird and amazing thing I think that's ever happened to me.
I think it was the most awkward thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, yeah, but the more I think about it, the more I realise how amazing it really was. Sorry, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm John.
And I'm Peter.
And we were two of Jesus' very best friends when he was walking around on Earth.
John even wrote a book about it.
I did, because I wanted people to know what really happened.
Anyway, the most awkward thing that ever happened to me in my life happened in Jerusalem.
It was the Passover festival. So it was absolutely packed with people. It was like all of Israel had moved to Jerusalem for the week. Every room in the city was full. There were campsites on every bit of available space, and the streets were full of crowds of people and animals.
Yeah, and the crowds were absolutely everywhere. And the crowds really, really wanted to see Jesus and to listen to Jesus. When we came in, the road was literally lined with people shouting and calling Jesus a king.
So you can imagine that we were really glad to get a bit of peace and quiet. It was the Thursday night, the night of the Passover meal itself. And finally, we got some time with just us and Jesus. We borrowed a room in someone's house so that we could eat the Passover meal together, just Jesus and us.
But there was one really big problem.
Because it was a borrowed room, there was no host and there were no servants. And so there was no one to wash our feet.
And that was really bad news.
Because we'd been walking around in the city streets all day in sandals.
And like John said earlier, the streets were full of people and they were full of animals.
So by the end of the day, our feet were a gross nature documentary all by themselves. We had stood in sheep poo,
cow poo,
goat poo.
I think I even stood in some camel poo at one point.
So obviously, we'd taken our sandals off and left them outside the room. But then when we all kind of lay down on our sides to eat, like in this picture, you could smell the circle of dirty feet all around you.
There was no getting away from it.
No, but the problem was, none of us were going to wash each other's feet because washing people's feet was so gross that it was something that only servants would do. Not anyone as important as us. So it would have been totally humiliating for any of us to do it.
We were like, no way, I am not doing that. And we just had to put up with it.
And it was going okay, ignoring it to begin with, until partway through the meal, everything went horribly wrong.
Tell them what you wrote in your book, John.
Okay, so I wrote this in my book. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God.
So what that means is Jesus knew that he was way, way more important than any of us. He was the most important person who had ever lived because he was the rightful king of the entire universe.
So he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist.
And we were like, no way. He's not going to, is he? Is he? But he was.
After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him.
Imagine that. Jesus himself comes up behind you and he starts to wash your horrible, mucky feet. He starts to take all the horrible, disgusting, awful muck off your feet with his own hands.
Let's act it out. I'll be Jesus. You can be you. So, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him,
Lord, are you going to wash my feet?
Jesus replied, you do not realise now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.
You shall never wash my feet.
Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you can have no part with me."
Like I said, it was the most awkward moment of my entire life. But in the end, I let him.
Can you imagine it? Jesus himself washing your gross, disgusting feet with his own hands.
I was just awestruck about how humble he was. Here was Jesus, the King of the universe, and he was washing my feet. Imagine if, I don't know, imagine if your head teacher or your boss at work came to your house and they had those yellow rubber gloves on and they said, "I'm here to scrub out your dirty, disgusting, horrible toilet." You'd think, what are you doing? Why do they care for me this much? Why do they want to help me this much? Surely they're far, far too important for that.
And it was actually even more amazing than that. Because Jesus, a bit afterwards, he said to us, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In other words, he said, if you want to see what God is like, just look at me. Because I'm God, become a human being. And that makes what he did with our mucky feet even more amazing. Because I don't know how you imagine God, but I bet it's not like this. Apparently, this is what God is actually like. So humble, so caring, that he knelt down and washed our mucky feet with his own hands. Jesus shows us what God is really like.
Well, hello everybody. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm actually really good at football. You can tell, is that working, Stephanie?
Yeah?
You can tell by the fact I'm holding a football and the fact I've got a football top on. That's how you know I'm really good at football. And the thing is, I've played football for years and I have always been one of the best. In my team, I'm actually faster than all the others. And when it comes to shooting, they like never get it in the goal, whereas I sometimes get it in the goal. And also when it comes to tackling, running around people, that's what I know what that is. I'm actually quite good, and people say I hog the ball, but sometimes I get round like two or three people and they only get round one. So I am actually really good at football. When I look round at the other people in my team and compare myself to them, I think, yeah, I got this. I am better than average, I am good at football. But then, at the start of this year, Alicia joined our team. And Alicia is really good at football. She's so good at all the things that I thought I was good at. So she's so good at those things that actually, in comparison to her, it makes me look not so good at those things. Like, she's the fastest person I've ever seen, and when she shoots, it always goes in the goal. It's amazing. And also, she can pass really quickly and strongly and do all these amazing things. She is so good. And the thing is, I thought I was really good at football and could get away with not practicing, just because when I looked around at the other people in my team, I thought, well, yeah, compared to them, I'm pretty good. I'm really quite good. But when I compare myself to her, someone who's really, really good at football, well, then I realise I've still got quite a lot to learn. It is a good thing, actually. It is a good thing that she's on our team because we have started winning a lot more games. So that's really good. And she's really nice. She shares the ball with us. She doesn't hog it. So actually, we all have a better time. But the thing is, I've been comparing myself to the rest of the team. And actually, when I compare myself to her, I can see that I'm not quite as good as I thought. But she did say she's going to teach me. And so I'm going to go off to training now, and she's going to teach me how to be better. See you.
Great. So, did you notice Hang on. Did you notice that when how good Rachel thought she was at football totally depended on who she was comparing herself to? And something similar happened with Jesus's friends like Peter and John that night that John wrote about, that we were just hearing about. So we thought how by washing their feet, Jesus shows us what God is really like. But also, when you think about it, by washing his friends' feet, Jesus really shows his friends up. Imagine his friends that night. To begin with, as they ate the meal, they'd have all been looking round at each other, comparing themselves to each other, and thinking, well, it can't be that bad that I'm not volunteering to wash other people's feet because no one else is doing it. But then, when Jesus volunteered, they would all have known that Jesus was far more important than any of them, and they'd have realised, oh my goodness, I should have volunteered to do this ages ago. Jesus, being so humble, showed up how arrogant they were being. Jesus, being so generous and loving, showed up how selfish they were being. And actually, Jesus does the same thing to all of us. Jesus, being so amazing, shows up how rubbish we are. Jesus, being so humble and loving, shows up how arrogant and selfish we are. It is a lot like Rachel and her football. If she looked around at the other not very good people on the team, then she thought she was pretty good. But when she met someone really good, she realised that she had a lot to learn. And it's like that with all of us. How good we think we are depends on who we're comparing ourselves to. We all tend to look around us at the other people in our class or in our family or maybe in our workplace, and we're all really good, aren't we, at noticing all the ways in which other people are silly or annoying or bad. And so we look at everyone else and we think, wow, compared to them, I'm definitely above average. I'm definitely, on balance, a pretty good person. That's what we think, but then Jesus turns up. And when Jesus turns up, it turns out that humans were actually made to be loads more loving than we ever thought. Here's what Jesus says that all of us are made to be like. He said that we're made to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. That means that we were made to love God completely, to give him everything we have, and to love everyone around us selflessly, to care just as much about them as we care about ourselves. And Jesus said that that was what we should all be like all of the time. Now, we probably all hear that, grown-ups included, and think, well, that just doesn't sound realistic, does it? No one can actually be that loving or humble or generous all the time. Come on, it just can't be done. But that's exactly the point. Jesus shows us up. Because Jesus turned up and actually lived like that for his whole life. Now, when I read one of the accounts in the Bible of Jesus' life, of what he said and what he did and how he treated people, and then I think about how I treat people, I realise that I am nowhere near what I should be. Jesus was showing us what we were actually all made to be like, what we should be like. And so Jesus, being so humble and loving, shows up how arrogant and how selfish we are. But the great news is we don't have to hide that. We don't have to be worried or scared, and we don't have to pretend that we're perfect, because Jesus loves us so much that he wants to forgive us completely. Okay, so now we are going to have our mucky feet and amazing love question time. So what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions to help us think through the most amazing thing about this whole story, and you are going to point at the thing you think is the right answer when I say go. So we'll start with an introductory question. How can you tell if someone really loves you? You're going to have to point at the answer that you think shows you that someone really loves you. Is it that they are willing to do hard, nasty things to help you? Is it that they forgive you even when you've wronged them really badly? Or is it that they want to spend time with you? Okay, have a little think. Which one are you going to vote for? And you're going to point at it. 3, 2, 1, have a point. Now, this is a good kind of trick question because I think that everybody is right. All of those things, especially when they're all together, show us that someone really loves us, don't they? Now I want us to see that Jesus shows us how much God loves us. So our memory verse that we're going to learn this morning, and which you'll get in your swag bags if you're lucky enough to be small and get a swag bag, is all about how Jesus shows us how much God loves us. So it goes like this. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. So we'll do those signs at the first half. So it's God demonstrates, like shows, his own love for us in this. And then the second half is, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, we'll do that again. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so we'll try and say it all together with all the actions as well. We'll leave it on the screen though, so it won't be too difficult. Okay, so all together, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And actually, what Jesus did when he washed his friends' feet was to show them what that really means. So, do you remember that Jesus said to Peter, he said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That means, no part with me means you can't have a relationship with me. You can't be my friend. You can't be in my family. So why did he say that to Peter? I don't think that it was just that Peter's feet were so stinky that if he wasn't allowed to wash them, he didn't want to be anywhere near him. I think he meant that the washing was a picture to explain something else. Because Jesus said to Peter, you don't realise now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And what he meant by that was, this foot washing is a picture to explain what I'm about to do by dying on the cross. So let's start thinking about that with our next question. I need my two glamorous assistants, please. Thank you. And the question is, when you know that you've done something wrong, do you feel clean or dirty? So you can point at the shirt that you feel like. Do you feel clean like Jim's shirt or dirty like Rachel's shirt? Okay, so when you've done something wrong, which one do you feel like? 3, 2, 1, point. Yeah, exactly. When we've done something wrong, we feel dirty. And that is what Jesus is using the dirty feet to explain. The dirt on Peter's feet was a picture of how we've all done things wrong. Like we were saying before, Jesus shows us how loving we really should be, and none of us are like that. And so it's not just that sometimes we feel a bit guilty, it's that we actually are guilty before God. And that dirt is a picture of our guilt. So next question. When Jesus saw how dirty his friends' feet were, did he tell them to go away, or did he go to them and wash their feet? Okay, 3, 2, 1, point at what you think. Yeah, he didn't send them away. He went to them and washed their feet clean. And that is what Jesus does with our guilt, with all the wrong stuff inside us and all the wrong things that we do. He doesn't get angry at us and shout at us and tell us to go away. He actually moves towards us and offers to forgive us. But how does that work? How does Jesus forgive us? Well, let's think about this. When Jesus washed their feet, did Jesus just click his fingers and make the dirt vanish? Yes or no? Have a think. Did he just click his fingers and make it vanish? 3, 2, 1, point at the answer you think is true. The answer is no. The dirt didn't just vanish. We saw, didn't we, Jesus got down on his own hand, on his knees, and he got his own hands dirty. Think of that towel that was wrapped around him that he was drying their feet with. It would have been totally disgusting at the end. To get them clean, he had to get dirty himself. And actually, that's how all washing works, isn't it? So next question. When you wash yourself with water, does the dirt disappear? Yes or no? Tricky question. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Point of the answer you think. No. The way that we get clean is water cleans us. I think we've got it on the next slide. Water cleans us by absorbing all of our dirt into itself and carrying it away. And that is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. For anyone who asked him for forgiveness, Jesus takes all our dirt, all of our guilt, he takes it off us and he absorbs us. It's all right, we'll do it in a sec. He absorbs it into himself. And he lets all that guilt crush him and kill him on the cross. And then he buries it forever and he rises up to new life. So, just like water makes us clean by absorbing our guilt into itself and carrying it away, Jesus forgives us by absorbing all our guilt onto himself and carrying it away forever. Now, I used to think that was really weird. And I didn't get, why couldn't God just forgive me? Why would Jesus have to die for that? But someone explained to me that that's actually how forgiveness always works. So, next question. When someone has done something that really upset you, and they are sorry, and they ask you to forgive them, is that easy or hard? Is it easy to forgive them, or is it hard to forgive them? 3, 2, 1. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Forgiving someone is painful. Why? Because when someone does something wrong, they create pain. And we can't just click our fingers and make the pain vanish. The choice we have is, am I going to push all of that pain back onto them, maybe by being mean to them or by freezing them out? Or am I going to take that pain onto myself instead so that I can forgive them? Forgiveness is hard because it's taking the pain that they've created on yourself rather than pushing it all back on them. And that is what Jesus does for anyone who asks him to. He takes the pain of everything we've done wrong to other people and to God, and instead of pushing it back onto us, he takes it onto himself. So it's like we've got ourselves horribly dirty. So imagine that Rachel stands for us and Jim stands for Jesus. So because Jesus loves us, he comes and he offers to come to us and take all of that dirt off us. And he takes all the dirt off us and he puts it onto himself as he dies on the cross. And he suffers all of that pain instead of us. And so we know that our guilt is finished. It's all dealt with. And it all stays buried forever in Jesus' tomb. And then he came back to life so that he can love us forever and we can be with him forever. Thank you very much, Jim and Rachel. You can sit down now. So let's come back to our first question, but be more specific. How can we tell that Jesus really loves us? Well, he did the hardest thing ever by dying on the cross, taking all of our pain instead of us for our sake. And he did that so that he could forgive us completely. But why? Why did Jesus go through all that? Well, it's because he wants to spend time with us. He wants to wash us clean and forgive us so that we can be his friends and he can love us all the way through our lives and then forever. So, Jesus shows us how much God loves us by dying for us. That is what our memory verse means. We're going to practice our memory verse again because that's what we've just been thinking about. So, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So here's the final question. Is being a Christian easy or hard? Okay, you're going to point at the answer that you think. Which?
Sometimes.
We don't have the slide, no worries. Is being a Christian easy or hard? Okay, 3, 2, 1. It's tricky, isn't it? Because I think the answer is both. What we've learned this morning means the answer is both. It is easy to be a Christian because Jesus doesn't come to us and say, right then, you better clean yourself up before you can come to me and we can have a relationship and we can be friends. No. He says, I see all of your dirt, all of your guilt, and I am going to come to you. And if you'll let me, I will wash you clean myself and forgive you so that we can be friends forever. And so, brothers and sisters, whether you're little or grown up, we never, ever, ever need to let that feeling of feeling dirty because we know what we've done wrong get between us and Jesus. We should never let it trick us into thinking that we can't come to him. Because actually, if we'll just ask him, Jesus has already suffered all the pain that we've created on the cross. He's dealt with it all already. It's finished. And so it can't hurt him anymore. And when we do things wrong, all he feels now is that he is eager to come to us and forgive us and wash us clean and be our friends. So it's easy to be a Christian. But at the same time, it's really hard to be a Christian because asking for forgiveness is hard. It's hard to admit that we need it. To admit that we can't wash ourselves clean, but we need Jesus' help. So for people like me, this is really challenging because I tend to compare myself to all the other people around me rather than to Jesus. And so I just sort of assume that I'm a pretty good person on average. But the truth is, I actually have dirty feet. I really am guilty. I really need to ask Jesus to forgive me. And I need that every single day. Just as much as I would need to wash my feet every day if I was walking around in sandals in a whole load of poo. We have to ask Jesus for forgiveness every day. And that means it's hard to be a Christian. Because admitting we need forgiveness is hard. But it's easy to be a Christian because Jesus is always eager to forgive us because he loves us. So let's pray about that together now. And then the whites will come and keep lead us as we keep talking to God. So let's talk to God together. Jesus, thank you so much that you have shown us how much God really loves us by dying for us on the cross. And that means that we don't have to ever let our feeling guilty and dirty stop us coming to you because we know that you love us and you want to forgive us and wash us clean and be our friend forever. We are so sorry for how often we refuse to ask for forgiveness because we think we're really good. Jesus, forgive us for that. Help us to admit that we need you to forgive us and to remember that you are eager to forgive us. Amen. Amen.